Hi, everybody. This is Martin Zender here. I feel like I needed to give you an extra show today because I didn't want anybody to have any questions. I threw a lot of material at you yesterday. I thought I could have done a little better job as a teacher explaining it, because if you don't get it, it's my fault. So thus this extra show. I sure didn't want to shove it into yesterday's show because I'd already strained your patience enough. So here we go today. Hope you're having a good weekend. I'm working, but that's all right. I love it. At this foundational time, as Paul is writing to these people in Corinth from verses 1 through 12 of chapter 13, we see faith, expectation, love, and the gifts. And this is what we're arguing about, right? These gifts. This is what people want to know. Are these gifts operative today or aren't they? We're talking about the gift of prophecy, tongues, and the gift of knowledge. Just to point this out to you, faith and expectation are mentioned here in this context. Look at verse 7. Love is believing all. Believing, it's the same root word as faith. Love is expecting all. So from verses 1 through 12, we're talking about faith, expectation, love, and the gifts. The only things of all these things that I just mentioned that are said to be out of an installment are the gifts. Prophecy, tongues, and the gift of knowledge. They're expedients, as we said in 1 Corinthians 12:7. They're suitable under the circumstances. They're a means to an end. And it's these things, these gifts, that are also going to be discarded. Not faith, not expectation, not love, but the gifts. But the big question for us today is this then: when will these things be discarded? We need to know that because people are arguing about it all the time. Are people who are prophesying doing it legitimately, or are they doing it falsely? Are we supposed to listen to them? Are we supposed to be speaking in tongues? Are we not spiritual if we're not speaking in tongues? And so the question is, are these gifts discarded in this life, or are they discarded in heaven? And as this passage is commonly read and understood, it's in heaven. And the King James has helped along with that. I don't think that's right, but due to poor translating that I'm going to get into in a minute, the King James has led people astray in this verse, that this then is speaking of heaven. So now is when we need to go to verse 13. In verse 13, Paul tells us what things are remaining, and that's faith, expectation, and love. Well, wait a minute. We had, in verses 1 through 12, faith, expectation, love, and the gifts. Where are the gifts? What happened to the gifts in verse 13? You have to remember, Paul just said that the gifts were out of an installment only and that they would be discarded. So here's the thing. Faith, expectation, and love can only be said to remain if other things that were formerly listed with them have been discarded. If nothing has been discarded, then why say that faith, expectation, and love remain? That's the key word here. These things can only be said to remain if other things that were once with them have been discarded, and the only other things with them, besides love, which is never lapsing, that were grouped with them were the gifts. Remember, it was the gifts? And since faith and expectation are remaining at the expense of the gifts, then the gifts must be discarded in this life because faith and expectation can only belong to this life. When we're with Christ, we won't need faith to believe in Him, because faith is a conviction concerning matters which are not being observed, Hebrews 11:1. And when our bodies are changed, we won't be awaiting or expecting our Savior out of heaven anymore. So the next question needs to be, what event in this life triggers the gifts being discarded? The answer is maturity. Maturity, as I read to you, marks the time when the gifts are discarded and only faith, expectation, and love remain. Verse 10, quote, "Now, whenever maturity may be coming, that which is out of an installment shall be discarded." And I gave you two verses that said that some were mature even then, and that maturity was a thing to be sought and obtained in this life. There's another verse I need to give you on that, and that's Ephesians 4:13, 14. I've been all over this passage this week, speaking of, quote, "the upbuilding of the body of Christ unto the end that we should all attain to the unity of the faith and of the realization of the Son of God to a mature man." this shows you again that maturity is to be expected at the same time of a unity of the faith. So again, this has to be in this lifetime, or we couldn't speak of faith. So if maturity comes in this lifetime, and maturity marks the end of the gifts, then bye-bye gifts in this lifetime. Okay, but now I know there's this question, then are we talking about a personal maturity or a corporate maturity, such as the body of Christ? Both. I think it's both. Remember, the scriptures have not been written yet, and the highest revelation that God is going to give to man that's found in the book of Ephesians was not written yet. That's the time Paul's looking forward to that belongs to maturity. It's going to come through Paul. He's the one Christ chose. He's Christ's chosen instrument to reveal this amazing revelation. Remember, from glory to glory, that's Paul's ministry. And he was the one who's going to write about it, and he's going to bring forward this, what's called in this passage, face-to-face revelation to all the ecclesias, but it's not time yet. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2:6 that he was speaking wisdom among the mature. So I think he is telling some of these things that we're going to see later in Ephesians, but he's only revealing them now to individuals that he thinks are ready for it. He's not revealing it corporately. He's going to do it in Ephesians a few years after this. Now you have to understand the era Paul was living. This is an incredibly unique time. It's hard to put ourselves back in this place. Things are taking shape in this time. Things are in flux. God has given Paul, I believe, revelations. I believe that at this time, Paul knows what he's going to say, but he's not allowed to speak it. Certain things have to happen. Israel has to be set aside. The full hardening of Israel has to come that we read of in Romans 11. So I think Paul knows the truth, but he can't reveal it. The signs of the kingdom, the full hardness, some of these things still have to happen. So he's waiting for the perfect time. He's in tune. Christ has spoken to him. He took him to the road, on the road to Damascus, Christ spoke to him. Then Paul went to Arabia. He learned things. And I think he learned the full glory of the body of Christ. So I want to skip ahead a little bit in time. Now I want to go to Ephesians briefly here and show you that it's something that there's definitely something happening in Ephesians that's completing the Word of God. Look at chapter 1, verse 9, making known to us the secret of his will to have an administration of the complement of the heirs to head up all in the Christ. This is amazing truth. It hadn't been made known before. The secret, that's a big word, of his will, to be part of an administration that is going to complete the eras. It's going to fill up the eons. It's going to head up the universe in Christ. Unknown truth, that's mature face-to-face revelation. And then he goes on, especially in chapter 3, he says, on this behalf, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you, the nations, since you surely hear of the administration of the grace of God that is given to me for you, for by revelation the secret is made known to me. Okay, that suggests that what I was telling you was right, that the secret was made known to Paul by special revelation, according as I write before in brief, not in totality, by which you who are reading are able to apprehend my understanding in the secret of Christ. This is heavy-duty stuff here, which in other generations is not made known to the sons of humanity as it was now revealed to his holy apostles and prophets. Apostles and prophets belong to the foundation, and this is the foundation. In spirit, the nations are to be joint enjoyers of an allotment and a joint body, joint partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus. I believe I just read that promise to have an administration of the complement of the heirs to fill up the heirs, to bring everything into subjection to Christ. Nobody had ever heard of that before. Through, all this is going to happen through the evangel of which I became the dispenser. I and I alone. Either he's the biggest egotist that ever walked the earth, or this man was given an administration distinct from any other human being, including Peter. In accord with the gratuity of the grace of God which is granted me, in accord with his powerful operation. Verse 8, to me, less than the least of all the saints, was granted this grace to bring the evangel of the untraceable riches of Christ. Untraceable. Couldn't find them in the Old Testament. To the nations, and to enlighten all as to what is the administration of the secret which has been concealed from the eons in God who creates all, that now, that now may be made known to the sovereignties and the authorities among the celestials through the ecclesia, the multifarious wisdom of God in accord with the purpose of the eons which he makes in Christ Jesus our Lord. My goodness, you don't know when to stop. You just feel almost like he's finally relieving himself of some baggage that now finally is maybe made known to the sovereignties and authorities. I picture the sovereignties and authorities have been waiting on tiptoe for this revelation, and now Paul is finally able to reveal it. He spoke it in private, perhaps, to some few who were mature, but corporately, as the body of Christ, he could not reveal it. This letter to Ephesians is something else. This is the only letter in Paul's letters that it's not addressed to the Ephesians. In all his other letters, Paul to the Corinthians, Paul to the ecclesia which is in Galatia, to the ecclesia which is in Colossae, Paul to Timothy, Paul to Titus. But here, it's the only letter that was not addressed to a specific ecclesia, even though it went to Ephesus. He says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus through the will of God to all the saints who are also believers in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. The only letter in which he does that. This is the pinnacle of revelation. This is the maturity he's referring to in 1 Corinthians 13 that is going to come, that was still at the time he's writing 1 Corinthians several years ahead. But I went ahead because I wanted you to see that now. That now. But going back to Paul's time as he's writing 1 Corinthians, it's not time for that. But Paul knows it's coming. The Corinthians don't. So Paul says to the Corinthians, look, this is the aerial view, I think. He's saying, look, I know that what you're doing now is exciting. I know that these languages and prophecies, this is good stuff. But I'm telling you, I'm just giving you a little hint here. Don't hang on to it. Don't fall in love with it because it's going to be discarded. It's out of an installment. It's part of the foundation. It's something to push us along to get us to a point where we won't need it anymore. It's going to become an immature thing. We're going to look back on this time as an immature time when maturity may be coming. And I'm going to bring you a face-to-face revelation. And it's coming in the book of Ephesians. Of course, he didn't say that to him then, but that's the big picture here. You know, even the language here, such as that which is out of an installment shall be discarded, and when I've become a man, I've discarded that which is of minors. It seems to me a stretch to say that this is going to happen when we're in heaven. Going to heaven is when I've become a man. When I've become a man, I can't parallel that with going to heaven. And would a person need to think when he gets to heaven, let's see, I'll need to be discarding these installment gifts? No, it would be automatic at that time. So the language here even suggests that this thing is going to be coming in their lifetime. And in fact, it has already come from our perspective 2,000 years ago. So Paul's telling the Corinthians here, maturity is coming, a face-to-face revelation. At present, we're seeing by means of a mirror and an enigma, yet then face-to-face, the installment thing. And Paul is, it's interesting, I think Paul's putting himself in the same boat as the Corinthians to say, you know, when I become a man, then I'll do it. You know, we're seeing out of an installment, but then face to face, I know in part. Well, I think he knew in full at the time, but he's putting himself in their boat. And I don't believe he's in that boat, though. I think he knows, but I'm sure that he is aware it's a few years yet before he can tell it. Got to wait for other things to fall into place. He's very sensitive to God's timing. He is God's man in this hour, the hour when he's writing 1 Corinthians, and through he knew God's hand was on him, very sensitive to the timing. You can't reveal anything before its time, just like wine today. And I told you the King James has really screwed us up here. I think it has, as far as this thing at present goes. The KJV there, if you read the KJV, has now. It says now we're seeing out of an installment. Now we're seeing as in a mirror. Now. But the actual word there, it should be at present. It tends to make you think, though, with that now, that this is our current era. And that the then would suggest to you that that would be heaven when we get to heaven. But as usual, the KJV is translating inconsistently. The Greek word is arti, A-R-T-I, should be translated at present. The word nouni means now. But all through Scripture, they mix these two words up as usual. They crosswire it because basically they're careless. But anyway, when you translate it correctly, at present, it helps you see that the situation we're looking at in 1 Corinthians was at that specific time, at present. at present, this is this way, but then it's going to be a different way. It helps you to see, I think, more clearly that the then is going to be not so far off time necessarily. It allows you to see that the then could refer to a later time rather than heaven. So Paul's teasing them a little bit. Maybe it's better to say he's preparing them. And then when he's done with this whole section, it's like he closes a big curtain. 14:1 has always shocked me. 1 Corinthians 14:1. It's like he's giving them these hints that something's going to happen, something's big going to happen. Then 14:1, yet be zealous for the spiritual endowments, which he just said were out of an installment and they were going to be discarded. Yet you get a feeling in 14:1 that zip, this curtain has gone shut. And this thing's going to happen, but it hasn't happened yet. So back to the world we're in, folks. And as long as these things are still around, be zealous for them. I want to give you another verse to help you along about this face-to-face realization. I know it's hard to think of that as being now, but if you go to 2 Corinthians 4:6, the God who says that out of darkness light shall be shining is he who shines in our hearts with a view toward the illumination of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Verse 7, now we have this treasure in earthen vessels. What treasure? The treasure of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It was getting closer. That's in 2 Corinthians. He's getting closer to the time when he's going to reveal this. And he's a big hint here. We have this treasure, the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It's not a matter of a degree, the degree which Christ knows us, we're going to know him. It's the same kind of revelation, of realization, a face-to-face realization. So coming back to the personal praying in tongues, I think that can still be going on today. It's a personal thing between a person and God. But these things that are involving the ecclesia, such as prophecy and the gift of knowledge and the speaking in tongues and in interpreting as a corporate thing, it is long gone. And if you see it going on today, it's a satanic imitation. And prophecy, as far as that goes, is definitely said to be a part of the foundation. I hope this helped. I hope it helps to establish you in the truth and make you rejoice that you are a part of this great thing in Christ Jesus. I remain yours, Martin Zunder, and we'll see you Monday.